I meant to have a printout for you today, and I failed to do that. I apologize. But I will get this to you because this is something I want for each of you to have. It's what we've been talking about and going over for the last couple weeks. And it's basically what I've been going over for the last couple weeks is basically what is going to be new members' information, okay? From this point forward, when new members join, this will be taught in the form of a new members' class. But I wanted everybody to be on the same footing, okay? So for new members and old members and everybody in between, I wanted everybody to have this information because it's good stuff, and I wanted everybody to know where we stand and what we believe in. We believe that worship is a foundational part of who God has called us to be. Worship is not a suggestion in Scripture. Worship is a command in Scripture. Scripture says, "Worship the Lord your God." That sounds like a command to me, isn't it? Worship the Lord your God. And we talked about multiple postures of worship in Scripture, multiple ways of worshiping in Scripture. We talked about that for a whole service. We talked about the two key verses that identify us as a church. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And then the other verse, when Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost," which is what we did this morning, "and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And out of those two verses, to love the Lord with all your heart, that is worship, to express our love to the Lord, right? To love your neighbor as yourself, that is ministry, right? Showing love towards others. To go and make disciples, that's evangelism, to tell the good news. And to teach them all things, that's discipleship. That's discipleship. And we talked about what our purpose is. Why does Dolan Baptist Church exist? It's to encounter God through worship, to engage in God's body, that's through membership, to encourage God's love through ministry, to express God's word in evangelism, and to equip God's people through discipleship. We talked about why we must never stop growing, because God's word commands it. Because God loves people, He tells us to reach out, and because it's God's will. We talked about equipping the saints. We talked about how I encourage you to be part of a small group study, a discipleship study group. We call that here at Dolan Baptist Church Sunday School. For our young ladies, our girls, Monday night Bible study. And that, I think that's a fantastic thing we have going on now. Today, I wanted to kind of see if I could wrap up this idea. I want to talk about our mission. Our mission is to be disciples who make disciples. We can't accomplish our mission unless we first become disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple is someone who follows closely, who studies, In the trade industries, we call it an apprentice, who studies and closely and practices and learns, right? Do that so long that you become good enough to therefore make other disciples. That's our purpose, to be disciples who make disciples. And there's a there's an acrostic called strategy, okay, because we have a strategy for this. Strategy, I wish I had it on the board. And if you had papers, you would have it in your hands. And hopefully by the end, I think Donna went to do this. And hopefully by the end of the service, you'll have this in your hands. Strategy, the S stands for sermons. Sermons are messages, and they're preached in order to equip, to encourage, and enable you to live victoriously through the circumstances of life. Have you ever heard a sermon that you walked away and thought, man, that was right for me? He must have been reading my mail. He's been listening to my phone calls. He knows exactly what's going on with me. I assure you that I don't. I don't have your phone tapped. I don't sneak through your mailbox. Okay? Husbands, sometimes your wife does call and ask for certain prayer requests and gives me your login information. No, she doesn't. No. But has that ever happened to you? Sure it does. Sure it does. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. I'm not privy to your private lives. No, I'm not. But the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is. Transforming worship is a priority as we seek to experience and praise God through worship. Let me tell you something. The opportunity exists. If you don't take advantage of it, that's on you. Okay? That's on you. Remember the command. Worship the Lord your God. Real needs are met as we share the promise of God to take care of His children. Did you know that God promises to take care of our needs? We talked about that. He promises to take care of our needs. Now, when you say, yeah, but I really need $5.3 million in my bank account, okay, you're going to be hard-pressed to justify that need with the Lord. Probably. Okay? When the Lord says, yeah, what you really need is to be able to eat a little bit. What you really need is to be able to function enough to earn a living. What you really need is to, you know, sometimes we have a hard time differentiating between our wants and our needs. Okay, we work really hard to say, yeah, but what I want is, what I really need is what I want. And we kind of shovel over some of our needs into the want pile, or some of our wants into the need pile, rather, right? And God says, no, He's smarter than that. He says, I'm a better sorter than you are. I understand wants and needs. I will give you what you need. And sometimes what you want. That's right. Part of our mission and our strategy for accomplishing our mission is acceptance. Acceptance is a must. We meet people where they are, and help them discover God's exciting truth for their lives. Think about it. Think about it. Where did Jesus hang out? Who did He hang out with? He hung out with the people that nobody else would hang out with. He hung out with who the religious people shunned, who they wouldn't hang out with. He hung out with the prostitutes. That's who He went to and ministered to. He went to the sick, the outcasts. Why did He do that? Because they're the people that weren't given opportunities. They're the people that nobody else would show love to. Did God make those people? Does God love those people? Should we love those people? And we will. And we will. Target. We seek to reach the people, especially the unchurched, of our area. Folks, our area, we talked about this. It's a struggle to say community because we don't really have a community. We have an area. Okay? But many of you live in communities. Yeah? Okay? So we have just an area. But there are people in this area that are unchurched. I don't know what the right answer is to how to get them. We're trying. But guess what? We're just going to keep on trying. We're going to figure it out. God's going to give us the right answer one of these days. But we're not going to stop. Okay? We're not just going to give up and say, well, we tried it. It didn't work. We're just going to have to keep on trying. We're going to have to keep on seeking and praying until God finally gives us the right method or methods. It's probably going to be multiple methods because people are different. Did you know that people are like variety pack? Did you know they come in different shapes and sizes and colors? And did you know they're different? Did y'all know that? Look around. No, really. Everybody look around. Did you know they're different in this room too? You are. They're just as different outside too. Every member is a minister to your area as well as this area. You got to be equipped. This is the key to effectiveness in reaching our area and our world. We equip to minister and reach out to serve. Okay? That is the main purpose of the pastor is to equip the members to reach out. Did you know that? To equip people to serve. We have to do it with genuine love, though. Genuine love is expressed and felt as we seek to serve our area. And we have to do it with a youthful vision. We're not limited by tradition. Instead, we are free to express hope to a hurting world in a manner that is relative to the needs of today. Folks, that's if you think, well, we're always changing stuff. How many of you have ever thought that? We're always changing stuff. Anybody ever thought that? Come on, show me your hands. Yes, we are. We have to. I saw a billboard. It's been many years ago. It was for a church. I don't even know the name of the church. But it was a very distinguished pastor, straight out of probably the early 70s. Looked like a pictorial directory photo straight out of the 70s. It was a great big old billboard at 1960 in Treshwick, I think was where this billboard was. And it said, whatever name of the church, says, times may change, but we won't. I've never forgotten that billboard. And still to this day, I thought, that's the sign of a dying church. The sign of a dying church. Because if a church is not willing to keep up with society, with people, they're going to get left behind. I'm not saying, listen to me, do not misunderstand me. I'm not saying we change to fit into the world. It's not really what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, as the world changes, we've got to remain relevant to the people that are in the world. Does that make sense? Okay? Otherwise, the people that are in the world are going to see the church as boring, outdated, and why should I even bother with that? That's my grandma's stuff. Nothing wrong with grandma's and nothing wrong with grandma's stuff, but to the young folks, that's not what they're interested in. I'm just saying. Okay? Do we have that picture that I gave you, Daniel? Can put it up there? This is what I want to look at real quick. There's five circles of commitment. As we look at this, There's a community. In our place, we're just going to call that area. Okay? And if you follow the circle, our area or our community is uncommitted, right? Most of the people out here are uncommitted. Why do I say that? Well, probably most of them right now are still asleep, or you're not going to find them in churches somewhere. They're doing whatever. Some of them probably fishing. Okay? The next circle is the crowd. Okay? And they're committed to attendance. Some of them will at least go to church. Okay? And probably there's some folks in here that are at least committed to being an attender. Okay? And that's good. That's good. Okay? That is good. The next circle is the congregation. And that group is committed to being a member of a church. Okay? And that is better. That's good. That's good. Then we have the next circle, those that are committed, and they're committed to maturity. They're more than just committed to membership. They're committed to really growing. They're committed to really kind of venturing inward and really, they're interested in growing. They want that. They're hungry. They're thirsty. And then you have this inner core. These are the folks that make it happen. These are the leaders. These are the ones that are engaged. These are the ones that you count on. These are the ones that are just in the thick of it. Okay? Here's why we have this illustration. There's a huge number of people in this outer circle. A much smaller number in these that are committed to attend. Okay? A little bit smaller is this that are committed to membership. Smaller still is the number that are committed to maturity. And much smaller still, those that are committed to being in the core. What we've got to do, folks, the whole goal is continue to move people from the uncommitted to at least get them to come to the church. Okay? And those that once you get them to commit to at least come to the church, then maybe we can get them commit to at least come and join the church for membership. That's another level of commitment. And then those that have at least committed to become members of the church, move them into at least commit to getting thirsty and hungry for God's word and desiring more maturity, right? And then those that have been hungry and thirsty and devoted and hungering for maturity, move them into core ministry. The problem is we can't do that. That's got to be the work of the Holy Spirit. But we can provide encouragement. We can provide the tools. We can provide the love and support that helps that process, okay? As this grows, so then this grows. It's kind of backwards. As this grows, incitement grows and this grows because of this is growing. See how that works? That's it grows from the outside in and from the inside out. Dolan Baptist Church's objective is to keep moving people toward the center by encouraging personal spiritual commitments, specifically, I want to call people to the membership commitment, and that is, did y'all get the paper? No? Okay. Oh, some did. Donna has the paper. Oh, Donna, great. You're so awesome. Everybody give Donna a hand. A commitment, the membership covenant is a commitment to Christ and to the church family. Okay? Ephesians 2:19 says, you are members of God's very own family, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. Okay, we're a member of a family. Romans 12, verses 4 and 5 says, we are all parts of Christ's body, and it takes every one of us to make it complete. For we each have different work to do, so we belong to each other and need all the others. Why do we have commitments? Why do we ask for commitments? Because we become what we're committed to. Did you know that? Because we become what we're committed to. If you never commit to something, you never become anything. Guys, when you commit to being a father, you become a father. When you commit to becoming a husband, you become a husband. When you commit to becoming a boss and a good boss, you become a good boss. When you commit to becoming a good employee, you become a good employee. When you commit to becoming faithful in your marriage, guess what? You become faithful in your marriage. If you don't make the commitment, chances are you won't become it. Dolan Baptist Church is structured in an orderly fashion. 1 Corinthians 14, parts of 33 and parts of 40 says this, for God is not a God of disorder, but a God of peace. And then part of 40 says, but for everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. See, God is a God of order, not a God of disorder. He's not a God of chaos, right? The structure of Dolan Baptist Church is not determined by the culture. We talked about that earlier. It's not determined by the culture. It's not a business. It's not determined by business practices. It's not even determined by denominational practices. Okay, we are Southern Baptist, but each church is autonomous. The nature of the church determines the structure. And listen, the church is not an organization. The church is a living, breathing organism. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, they continued steadily learning the teaching of the apostles and joined in the fellowship. A top priority in fellowship is harmony and unity in the body. Harmony and unity in the body. Is that important in an organism? Harmony and unity? When you don't have harmony and unity in an organism, what happens to the organism? It gets sick. It starts to die. It starts to fall apart. Becomes unhealthy. Unity and harmony is important. Ephesians 4:3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Romans 14:19 says, so let us concentrate on the things that make for harmony and the growth of our fellowship together. And I want you to know that any attitude that causes disunity is sin. Period. And I got a whole list of scriptures that back that up. We just don't have a whole lot of time this morning, but it's listed on your paper. A good structure promotes unity and downplays differences. Folks, we got too little time to look at what differentiates us. We got too little precious time, so let's focus on what unites us. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17 through 18 says, often your meetings do more harm than good, because I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. Paul is addressing the Corinthians, and he says, when you come together, you're fussing and fighting, you're focusing on your differences. It ought not to be that way. When you come together, let's look at what unites us as brothers and sisters in Christ. We are one body. Folks, that's what we are. We're one body. That's what makes us a church. The church is a family full of sympathy towards one another, loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds, 1 Peter says. So we operate under the basis of relationships, not rules. The church is a body, not a business, an organism, not an organization. At Dolan Baptist Church, we have a simple structure so that we can maximize ministry and minimize maintenance. If the pastor of any church has to spend more time fixing relationships within the body, he's not able to spend time building ministry. Okay? I'm not saying that that's my problem here at the Dolan Baptist Church, because it's not. Okay? All I'm saying is that's the expectation, that it not be that way. Okay? Now, the people are ministers. Did you know that every one of you are called to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Every one of us. Every one of us. It's not just my job. It's not just Brother Hal's job. It's not just Alex's job. We're all called to be ministers. The pastor is the main equipping pastor. The deacons are to help the pastor minister to the flock. The church is a flock. You know, Jesus referred to the church is the flock many times, the sheep, therefore cared by the shepherd, right? Jesus was talking to Peter and said, "Do you love me?" Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Feed my sheep. I could get into talking about sheep, but I won't for now. They're woolly. What does it mean to be a member? What does it mean to be a member? Well, the difference between attenders and members can be assumed in one word. Commitment. Commitment. At Dolan Baptist Church, we recognize the need for formal membership. A lot of churches have moved away from membership. We have not, and I believe it's for a very specific reason. We asked you to commit to membership for four reasons. One is it's biblical. Christ committed to the church. Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it. That's commitment, folks. Another reason is it's a beacon of relevance to our society. We live in an age when very few want to be committed to anything. Have you noticed that? A job, a marriage, our country. This attitude has even produced a generation of church shoppers and hoppers. Membership shines through the darkness of this current American trend toward a consumer-oriented religion. It's an unselfish decision, and commitment always builds character. And it's very practical. It defines who can be counted on. If you think about it, every team has a roster, does it not? Haskell and I were talking before church, and we're talking about the Texans, and they did some trading just over the weekend. Made some trades and some deals to get some new players. Well, those new players have now been added to the roster. They're official on the, if they print out their new roster, their names are listed because that roster identifies who's on the team. Teams have a roster. Every school must have an enrollment. If the school did a printout of their enrollment, the names of students are going to be on that list. They need to know who is on their list, right? Every business has a payroll. And if you work for a business, you'd be glad to know that your name is on that payroll list, right? Every army has an enlistment. Even our country takes a census and requires a voter registration. See, membership defines or identifies our local family. It tells us who can be counted on. And it's very personal. It produces spiritual growth. The New Testament places a major emphasis on the need for Christians to be accountable to each other for spiritual growth. You cannot be accountable when you're not committed to any specific church family. Did you know that? Who's going to hold you accountable if you're not accountable to anybody else? Now, here's what it means to be a member at Dolan Baptist. And I'm getting close to finishing up, so just bear with me. At Dolan Baptist Church, we never ask our members to do more than what the Bible expects every Christian to do. Okay? These responsibilities are spelled out in what we call a membership covenant. And I'm just going to read to you the covenant. Having received Christ as my Lord and Savior, and having received believer's baptism, being in agreement with Dolan Baptist Church statements, strategy, and structure, being led by the Holy Spirit to unite with Dolan Baptist Church family, I commit myself to God and the other members to do the following. Number one, I will protect the unity of my church by acting in love towards other members, by refusing to gossip, by following its leaders. Several verses attached to this section. So let's concentrate on the things which make for harmony and on the growth of our fellowship together. Live in complete harmony with one another, and let us each with the attitude of Christ towards one another. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. This goes on and on. Folks, unity is paramount. Harmony is paramount. Live at peace with all men. Right? We got to live at peace with one another. Number two, I will share the responsibility of my church by praying for its growth, by inviting the unchurched to attend, by warmly welcoming those who visit. Paul writes in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, he says, to the church, we always thank God for you and pray for you constantly. Prayer matters. Jesus talks about it in Luke. He says, go into the country and urge anyone you find to come so that my house may be full. We've talked about that here. There's still room. There's still more chairs. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Number three, I will serve the ministry of my church by discovering my gifts and talents, by being equipped to serve by my pastor, by developing a servant's heart. Serve one another with the particular gifts that God has given you, 1 Peter 4. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, and some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of His fullness of Christ. And then I love this one too. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be that, should be the same of that as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And number four, I will support the testimony of my church by attending faithfully, by living a godly life, and by giving regularly. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. And then 1 Corinthians, on the first day of every week, each of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. And then Leviticus 27:30, a tithe of everything from the land whether grain from the soil or fruit of the trees belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. So what does this all mean? To encounter, to engage, to encourage, to equip, and express our relationship to Christ is our purpose. Our mission, we are called to be disciples who make disciples. Our vision, we desire to share the love of God with all people of our community, our area, in such a way that they will have the greatest opportunity to become fully devoted disciples of Jesus Christ. That's what becoming a member at Dolan Baptist is about. It's good. It's good. But I need to take one step further. If you have the last page, and I hope you have it, there's some important things here. If you want to join Dolan Baptist Church, I want to encourage you in a couple things. The last page says on coming and going. If you want to come and join Dolan Baptist Church, I want to encourage you in these six things. Determine within yourself to discover God's will through prayer, scripture, counsel, and vision. It's a matter of prayer. You need to pray about that. Okay? Because it's important. Come to an understanding of the church's vision, mission, and purpose. Read through these documents, this paper. Make sure that you understand and you agree with kind of where we're headed as a church and what we believe and what we believe God's called us to do. Decide to move forward in becoming an active part of ministry. We expect members of Dolan Baptist Church to be more than just attenders. We desire and expect each member to move towards that center of the circle. Number five, be sure you are reconciled with any past situations in your former church. I cannot express how important this is. A lot of times, we change churches for many different reasons, okay? For many different reasons. It's important if you're going to go to a new church for a fresh start. I'm trying to put this as best as I can. If you want to start fresh, you need to start clean. Does that make sense? If you want to start fresh, you need to start clean. If you've got some unreconciled differences, listen, there's a scripture that says, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Okay? All things don't depend on you. But what does depend on you, you ought to do your part. So if there's some, if you're at odds with somebody, at least do your part to try to make amends. That way, when you come, you're ready for a fresh start. Okay? Not necessarily for our sake, but for your sake. For your sake. Start fresh and clean. Commit not to speak ill of those who have ministered to you in the past. It doesn't do any good. And it won't help any situation. And I want to speak to those that will be going, because at some point, you may be change jobs, you may be moving, life circumstances may change, or you may just decide you're tired of me. Okay? If you decide that the Dolan Baptist Church is no longer the place for you and you get ready to leave, here's what we ask of you if you decide to go. Be sure of God's leadership. Seek His face. Pray. Okay? We ask you to pray before you come. We're going to ask you to pray before you go. And there's a word there I put, it's called circumspect. It really just means be judicious, be wise. Don't be flippant. Act on the heat of the moment. Really tied us in with number two. Be careful to not let a momentary situation cause a quick decision. Remember the oyster. The oyster builds pearls, and they don't build overnight. Okay? It takes a long time. Number three, seek out a pastor and share with him what God is doing in your life. Number four, make arrangements for completing your commitments when possible and appropriate. If you're involved in a position of leadership, Sunday school, whatever, make arrangements for those. Don't leave somebody in a lurch. Number five, be gracious in your sharing. Not everything is necessary or important to elaborate upon. Affirm others and do not seek to influence them in a negative manner. And number six, remember, you're important to many people. They will miss you. So say goodbye. Don't just up and leave. Even if you're mad, don't just up and leave. You're important to many, many people. Say your goodbyes. Now, I'm hoping that you don't leave. But I also know that life situations happen. Sometimes people move. Sometimes job changes and sometimes all the kids are gone, and it's just time to go retire by the lake somewhere. Just make sure you invite the pastor and the pastor's wife to come fishing. I know that these last 3 weeks have not been the most evangelistic messages. I know they've not been the most inspirational messages, but I got to believe that they've been very important. They identify us. They give you a glimpse of the vision, the purpose, the direction of Dolan Baptist Church, why we exist, what our mission is, how we plan to operate and go forward, and what our target is, who we want to reach, and why we even exist. Folks, we're not here just for us. Although this is a great group, and I love each and every one of you. Most of the people in this room are heaven bound. Amen? Great. Most of the people out there are not. It's where the work is. It's where the work is. They're the ones that need this church. Now, we'll come together, we'll worship, we'll fellowship, we'll have coconut cream pie, and we'll have a good time. And we'll praise God, and we'll just get all down and have great time. But the work is out there. The work is out there. Folks, we need workers. We need workers. And if you're committed to working, I'm going to be like Uncle Sam. I want you. I need you. God needs you. Are you committed? Are you committed? Are you committed to Him? Because guess what? He's certainly committed to you. He gave you everything. He gave you everything. What more could He have given? He gave His very life for you. What do we owe Him? We owe Him everything. We owe Him everything. Father in heaven, we thank You for this day. Thank You for our time of worship, Lord. Thank You for everything. Lord, I just pray that today over this last few weeks. Lord, as we've looked at who we are as a church and where we're headed, what we're focused on, what we believe in, what we're willing to commit to, Lord. I pray, Lord, it's caused us to kind of take a hard look at what our commitment level is. And I pray, Lord, that as we've taken a look within ourselves at the level of our commitment and compare that with the level of your commitment to us, Lord, we've decided we're ready to up our commitment level because there's always room for more. And we're ready. We recognize we need to improve our commitment level. We need to move a little closer to the circle, to the center. God, make us hungry and thirsty. Give us a compassion. Lord, help us. Give us the desire for the lost and the dying. Make it burn within our heart, Lord, that we just can't stand it. Make us uncomfortable within these walls, Lord. Make us so uncomfortable that we're just itching to get out. That we like being here and we enjoy this right here, Lord, but we know that there's work out there and we're ready to get out there and get busy doing it. Here and there and then everywhere. Just as Scripture commands us, Lord. Help us follow your word. In Jesus' name, amen.